necessarily those of this station, management, or other advertisers. This is your alternative talk station, 1150 AM, KKNW, Seattle.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up. Get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
This hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Canada Pet Foods. Superior quality in every bag and can.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. It's actually our Father's Day edition, so happy Father's Day to all you human fathers and animal fathers out there. We are here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. Now, the best way to get the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And woohoo! The sun is out. Does anybody recognize it? Wow, how cool is that? A week before summer, spring has finally begun. Well, at least for a couple of days. And speaking of spring and sunshine, this Electric Blue Stripes, the parka has been put away, at least for the day. That would be Animal World's production engineer Gary Hill is here. Good morning, Gary.
Hello.
Hey.
I didn't wear a North Face jacket
for the first time in like today.
6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And look at that bright blue sky.
We can even see
the Olympics over there.
It's a brilliant, gorgeous morning.
It is. Speaking of brilliant and gorgeous and crispy white shirt, that would be Animal World's co-producer and call screener, Sandy Gaston, is here. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
It is a whole different energy when the sun is out.
It's a fabulous day.
I get up
early all the time, and I go out and I walk in my yard. But this morning, it was just all the dogs were following me. We were all sniffing the wonderful air and feeling the sun. And my basset hounds just wanted to lay in the yard. They didn't want to come in. I kept saying, no, you have to come because, you know, radio waits for no hound. But yeah, it was glorious.
I had a similar problem this morning because I have to medicate my cats before I leave. And they three of them being on the Pluckner protocol. And one in particular was MIA, you know, missing in action when treats were being handed out. And that's because the sun was out, so he was out running in the cat run already that morning. So I'm, you know, open the cat door and saying, Jobs, come on in. Oh, the sun's out, Mom. Can't stay in for a minute and back out again. So it really is quite gorgeous. And boy, what a great day. It's a great day all the way around because two of our absolutely most favorite, most popular guests are back in the studio with us, and that would be, I said our professor now, Helen Thayer is here, and the quiet one, Bill, the behind the scenes responsible for helping her make all of these tracks, I don't think you could do it without him, but
no.
Good morning, Helen.
Good morning.
It's so good to have you back.
Nice to be here.
And gorgeous and sunny. How nice is that?
Oh, it's a perfect day.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. All right. And Bill, of course, will remain in the background. He's the backup team.
Yes. Good backup team.
We need anybody to pitch a tent, haul a sled.
Mm-hmm.
He's our guy. Right?
He's the one to call on.
He's the one to call. All right. We will, of course, be talking about how did she become Professor Thayer, and what's on the agenda of that, and all of the trucks coming up. And if you haven't had a chance, if by chance you are a new listener and have not met Helen and Bill before, take an opportunity to pop on their web or Helen's website right now, www.helenthayer.com, and look at the bio. I could literally, well, I think a couple of times I have over the years spent like a half an hour of the show reading off all their accomplishments and all the things that they've done. It's unbelievable. Like being the first woman at age 50 to walk solo to the North Pole. That book, Polar Dream, boy, that's an amazing story. And not to mention the trek across the Gobi Desert and oh, all kinds of stuff. So we'll be talking about all of that sort of things and animals all over the world as the show continues. But to start with, again, happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. And a special, a true meaning of the word father. This is your first really official Father's Day, Gary. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you very much.
And
it's very exciting. Here she is.
A picture of, oh, Finley, did you see Gary's little girl?
Gary, oh, beautiful.
Oh,
beautiful.
How cute is that? Look at her, a little sweater and skirt.
Uh-huh.
And a little hat, knitted hat. We don't have that picture up.
No, it was just taken a couple days ago.
Well, okay.
I should forward it along.
You should, because then Rhonda can put it up. If you go to MarthaNorwalk.com, click on Current Events, you will find Gary's Finley,
mm-hmm.
and photographs, family photographs, on the Current Events webpage. And we'll get that one up. That's very cute. Right behind her, a rhododendron.
Her first birthday's
coming
just
up.
Around the corner, 25th.
25th, right. So this is it truly is your first official Father's Day. She was in the oven last
week. Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, congratulations.
Thanks.
And happy Father's Day.
Thank you very much. Happy Father's Day
to all you fathers. But also remember that we are the official spokesperson for the Animal Kingdom. And so for any of you guys that are responsible for animal friends on their behalf, I say happy Father's Day. And if you're a single guy and have animal friends and you don't have a, like I said, a spouse or a partner to go out and shop for your animals, you get to shop for yourself. Because they would love to honor you for Father's Day. So go buy yourself a present. You can't do that, Gary, because you don't have any animals. So too bad. But Mary would, you know, have to shop for Finley and so forth.
I can't buy myself a present anyways?
Well, I suppose you could.
All right.
No reason not to. Anyway, happy Father's Day, everybody. All right, we are going to start with, I've got some announcements, got some follow-up. Got animals in the news and good news about animals. And it's interesting how the animals in the news sometimes tend to correlate with the guests we have on the air. There's quite a lot of international animal news this week. So, and I remember reading the stories when I was reviewing last night thinking, I wonder if Helen and Bill have been here. I wonder if they know about this and these things. So we'll find out as we get through that. But let's see. First announcements. To let you know that it is time, it is officially underway for the annual 1150 KKNW listeners survey. So it is vitally important that all of you listening to my voice, be you listening on the radio or on the internet, we need you to go to the Animal World or the 1150 KKNW website, and the website address is www.1150kknw.com. You can get there by going to the Animal World website, MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live, like you were going to pull up the stream, and that will take you to the KKNW website. But you have until like the 6th of July to fill out the listener survey. And that helps us and the station, of course, better program to your needs and desires. And simply by filling out the survey, you enter to win a two-night stay in a family suite at the brand new Great Wolf Lodge south of Olympia. And I don't know if you've heard the commercials, they've been advertising pretty heavily over the media recently. Sounds like a fabulous place. Fabulous, fabulous place. And, you know, the first year that KKNW did a listener survey, one of our listeners, an Animal World listener, won the prize. But the last year, I don't even know, well, maybe been the last 2 years. Somebody else's listeners have won. So it's time the Animal World listener won again. So you need to log on sign up. And while you are there at the KKNW website, check out HD radio, high definition radio. Did you know that you can listen to Animal World and KKNW on HD? It is simulcast on 98.9 HD channel 3. And on the KKNW website, there is apparently a hot deal that you can save $20 on an HD radio. So if high definition radio is something that you want to be able to do and you would like to purchase an HD radio, apparently the signal is stronger and better and clearer and all that sort of stuff. Do you know a lot about HD radio, Gary?
I don't know a lot about it, but I do know that it signals fantastic.
Yeah, that's a lot better. So anyway, if you go to the 1150kknw.com, there is a radio logo that you can click on, and you can save $20 on a HD radio. So there you go. Fill out the survey, please. Get an HD radio if you like. Hey, 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 Sandy, are you there?
I am here.
Y'all here? Well, the first follow-up item. Remember last week, we had a major discussion about bees.
Mm.
Bees have been on my priority list for quite a while with the colony collapse syndrome and honeybees and so much talk about us losing our pollinators and what that could mean to the entire system, especially our food. I've been carrying, and last week I shared with you, if you were here, that in my trips I go every day over half a block away to the Tolaris Park in my neighborhood and throw the ball for Annie Golden Retriever. And somehow in the big windstorms last Thursday and Friday, a bumblebee hive was apparently blown out of the tree. And so there was a hive in the middle of the grassy area where the kids play soccer and we play ball and discovered that. And I was feeling very concerned about it last Sunday, talked about it on the air, and I was thinking I really should try to save the bees before they hurt someone and somebody kills them and to move them. But I, other than standing there and talking to them and finding out that it was okay to help them, I didn't really know what to do. And so I talked about it on the air last week, and one of our listeners, Lynn, sent me the name of a gal, Kelly, who is a beekeeper and apparently knows a lot about bees, and said perhaps that she could coach me. Well, I went right home from the show. I drove by the park to make sure the bees were still there, and other than the hive being moved maybe a few inches, they were still there. So I called up Kelly. She called me right back. And man, oh man, have I gotten an education about bees this week. And we're going to do a whole show on bees. This gal is tremendous. She's very knowledgeable. She is a beekeeper. Sandy, when I picked up the phone and she called me back and I'm talking to her about the bees, I'm a little tentative about describing my experience, because I wasn't just going to like say, well, like, you know, I've been going over there like every day, and like I stand right next to them and I like talk to the bees, you know. I didn't want her to blow me off. So I was sort of describing this, and she said, oh, Martha, I got to tell you, I know who you are. I know all about you. In fact, I took classes from you years ago on communicating with animals and the human to animal transference, and I used what I learned from you all the time. So I know you talk to bees, and that's okay. So it's like, oh, phew. So I filled her in on the whole deal, and so she filled me in on, let's see, I have red butt bumblebees. That's what these are. And so I described what was going on.
Red
and
all, butt?
Yeah, they're red. Yeah, red butt.
That's fine.
Red bottom bumblebees. Well, you know, the ones that the traditional black and yellow bumblebees. And there's big ones and little ones. And then there are the red-bottom bumblebees, which are yellow. The thorax is yellow. I even know the body part terms now. The thorax is yellow. And then the abdomen is a rusty orange-red. And then the tip of their butts is actually black. I now know them intimately. So I described to Kelly what's going on, and she says, well, like, what, you're standing right next to him? And I said, yeah, well, I'm like a foot or two away and just standing and talking to him. She said, and they're like, okay with you, like, doing that? And I said, like, well, like, yeah. And I explained that I was thinking I really should move them. And then so she gave me a quick education about what was needed in terms of location and all of that. And then she said, Well, the reason I'm asking all these questions is she says, you know, I mean, the red-bottom bumblebees are really the most aggressive of the bumblebees. I thought, great, thanks for telling me that. So apparently you must have a good relationship with them. I said, well, yeah, they seem to be okay. Then thanks for telling me that if I'm going to move them. And you remember last week I said, you know, I was thinking I should probably move them, you know, wait till it's about dark and move them, but I didn't know if I could muster up the courage to, well, she coached me and I decided that I could do this. So last Sunday evening, and I have to say we decided in talking to her that if I just moved them off of the grass and onto the ground somewhere over in that area, they still probably would not be safe. Because, you know, dogs and kids, they're all over those areas, and if they are aggressive, go after somebody, and they're going to get killed. So we decided if I was going to move them 20 feet, I could move them 100 feet. And so I should bring them home. So I have my own personal bumblebee, red butt bumblebee hive now. I went over about 9:30 last Sunday night with my bucket and cardboard and, you know, I talked to them all day, you know, afternoon to Sunday and Sunday evening and asked their permission to move them and visualized where I was going to move them and if that was okay and all of that. And I got the okay from the bees. So I went over and I put the bucket on them and get the cardboard underneath and I took them back to the place that I had selected. I have a place next to my cat run on the north side of my house that's behind a fence and in pine needles under a tree like where they were, but very secure and private. So they would be safe and no kids or no animals would get in there and disturb them. And so I moved them. And she told me to take the cardboard out from underneath them and then leave the bucket on for a couple hours. And then later, once they've settled down, go take the bucket off. So I did all that, and I took the cardboard out, and then I couldn't stand it. After about 45 minutes, I went back out there and got down and listened and didn't hear a lot of buzzing. So, you know, I took the bucket off, and that went fine. And I could hear them buzzing in the hive, but they didn't come out. So they seemed to trust me through the moving process. And then, so speaking, Sandy, I can relate to you being out in your yard and everybody sniffing and looking around. I've been out there. Now I've got bees to watch. So now the scientist, the biologist in me is been activated, and I'm out there all staring at these bees. And because there was a big question as to whether or not they would survive the move, if the location would be warm enough for them, if they would feel comfortable enough to stay in the hive, and all of this. And it's been an amazing process this week, and the good news is that the move has been made successfully. It's even though it's on the north side of the house, they are getting sun in the afternoon, and they seem to like me and tolerate me because I hang out with them and watch them all the time. And I found out that not a lot is known about bumblebees. There hasn't been a lot of research, a lot more work done with honeybees than bumblebees, because I've been bugging the poop out of poor Kelly, bless her heart. I'm calling her all the time saying, well, why are they doing this? And what's going on with this? And she's, Martha, we don't know a lot about these things. And they do walkabouts. They come out, and did you know that bumblebees have to have two chambers in their hives, that they don't go to the bathroom in their hives? They're like wolves. They won't soil the den. So they come out and do walkabouts because apparently their bathroom chamber must have been destroyed in the blow out of the storm. And I've seen the queen come out for a little walkabout, and she's a totally different color, huge, than the other bees. And it's amazing to watch them and how they do. And other bees, and bees come and visit bees. Did you know that? The other bees come and it's... Anyway, so I am observing my bees. I am excited to say that they're saved. The move has been successful. The first Sunday of July, Kelly will be in the studio with us. We're going to learn all about honeybees and bumblebees and what we need to know to help them survive, and hoping to get the wasp guy in too. So we're going to do a whole show on bees. So
I love it.
So I moved him, and I didn't even break a sweat. I was pretty amazed.
That's an amazing story, moving bees.
Yeah.
It really is.
Oh, and the best part, okay, so one morning this week, I'm out there, because every morning I'm out there in my bathrobe watching the bees, and That's just been a habit of mine for a long time since I was on the farm and didn't have any neighbors. It didn't matter if I was out there in my bathroom, but now I'm in the city and I still do it. Anyway, so one of my neighbors is driving by and I'm out there in my bathroom. What I was doing was seeing if any of my red butt bees were on the rhododendron. And so she pulls over and rolls down her window and says, "What the heck are you doing?" So, you know, I wandered over and I explained about the bees and she said, "Oh, well, let me tell you, we had an experience with those bees." And apparently on Saturday, she and another gal, they were out there throwing the balls for their dogs, and they had their grandkids over there. Well, apparently these bees are aggressive, because one of the grandkids sat down on the grass next to the hive, and they all got attacked.
Oh, no.
So two adults and a couple of kids and apparently had bumblebees all over the place. And bumblebees can sting multiple times. And under the shirts, in the hair, the other woman that was with her got a bee under her shirt, couldn't get it out. So she's stripping in, you know, the middle of the neighborhood. I told her I'd do the same thing. My shirt'd be off in a second. And so I was glad I didn't know that prior to all of, you know, moving the hive. But apparently they weren't tolerant of everyone being close to them. So they did attack some. So I'm glad I moved them, and so nobody else will get hurt, and they're safe. So there you go. And they're huge, by the way. They're very healthy. They're doing very well. They're so big, you know, the big, fat bumblebees, that they come out of the hive, and they have to do a few little loops to get enough loft to actually... I mean, they really do. They have to do a couple loops to get the loft to get up out of the area and go fly off to get pollen and stuff.
We better put them on an exercise regime.
Yeah, anyway.
You better get out there and train them bees, Martha.
Well, they're very smart. They're very... And you know what I found out yesterday? They sunbathe. And they take... I call them cigarette breaks. The little workers in there, they come out and they like stick themselves three quarters of the way out the door, and then they'd lay there in the sun, and they have like a little break, and then after a few minutes they get up, turn around, and go back to work, and then somebody else comes out and lays in the sun. They're very cute sunbathing bees. Go figure. So there you are. So I have a bee project for at least the rest of the season. I did find out, though, that after the season ends, that the hive, they will die off. Only the queen survives. She hibernates, but will start a hive elsewhere. They don't reuse the same hive the next year.
Hmm.
So how about that? All right. That's my bee story. And we're going to do a whole show on bees. All right, let's start with our Animals in the News follow-up. Speaking of bees, Oregon State University is seeking $250,000 in emergency state funding to find a reason and a solution for the unprecedented die-off of honeybees, a problem that is threatening the Oregon food crops, worth more than $457 million. And scientists at OSU said if there aren't enough bees to pollinate the crops, such as blueberries, cherries, and pears, and specialty seeds, the yield can drop up to 25 to 100% in a single season. So that's how critical the honeybee population is, because it could wipe out our fruit supply in one season, if there's not enough of them. So we really need to be paying attention. So hopefully OSU will find some answers. They're thinking, the current thinking right now is maybe that it's low levels of insecticides that is weakening their immune systems. Oh, some sad news, you guys. We just talked about them a while ago. The falcons on the WAMU tower downtown, the babies, they all died. The babies.
Oh.
The Pelican Falcon couple nesting atop WAMU building lost its entire brood over the past few days. And this the article made both papers. Check it out in either the Times or the PI. The bodies of the three babies, apparently it's not uncommon for the babies to die very soon after death from either cold exposure or some kind of parasite. But these babies had been around for a while. And then they died, I think, all within a week of each other. And the bodies have been collected and sent over to WSU. They'll do autopsies and all of that, and the results should be available in the next week to kind of find out what happened. But sad news is that the baby falcons are no longer. All right, speaking, well, other follow-up, another sad, you know, we've talked about the earthquake in China. And I don't know, this is, I was thinking about you, Helen, if you guys have been to China and the pandas at the, mm-hmm. the National Reserve, those pandas.
That's our next one of our next expeditions.
Are you going
to China? Yes.
Wow. Well, with the earthquake, unfortunately, they thought originally that all of the, I think it was 64 pandas or whatever in the reserve, they thought that all of them were okay. But then a few days after that, they said that two of the pandas were missing. Well, apparently Mau Mau, one of the missing pandas, was laid to rest this week at the National Reserve because she was found dead in her pen. Apparently the wall and the earthquake had fallen down and killed her. So they just found her and buried her this week. The other panda that was missing is still missing. So that was sad. Let's see. There's a cute picture, if you want to pick it up, of pandas, Sunday's Seattle Times. And eight pandas were taken to Beijing after their reserve. This is the one, you know, near China's earthquake epicenter was badly damaged. And they were planned to be moved anyway because they're apparently going to be on exhibit for the Summer Olympics. But it's a picture.
That's it. That's cute.
Yeah, of these pandas having a little party, apparently, because they're
animals.
They're going to a new place. Huh. We talked about the family in Roseburg, Oregon, that rescued the deer a number of years ago. Unfortunately, the department, Snowball, because it's apparently an albino deer, so it would have been more susceptible to predators and so forth in the wild, and it was badly injured, so it couldn't be released. And the deer has lived with them for like 6 years, and then the Department of Fish and Wildlife in Oregon found out, and they took the deer, and there's been all kinds of controversy over it, but apparently the deer is now being moved to a 600-acre wildlife safari. The people that raised her are still fighting that, but it sounded to me from everything I've read that, gee, let them keep the deer. They're all bonded. They've been doing a great job. I mean, exceptions can be made in specific situations, I would think. All right, we've also talked about, have you ever been to Venice and seen all the pigeons?
No, I haven't.
Look at the picture. This is from Seattle Times, if you want to search this. Venice's pigeons, we've talked about that. I mean, they're all over the place in the St. Mark's Square and all over St. Mark's Cathedral. And remember, we've talked about the fact that they really, many people, locals, believe that they are, you know, they're dirty and causing problems, and so they launched a program May 1st, to force the 19 licensed bird feed vendors to close their kiosks. And so they're on a let's not feed them and starve them so that we decrease the population. And apparently that's not going over real big with the locals. And because what, I don't know, the let's see, it's a band of animal lovers. Get this, can you imagine? This is for pigeons in Venice. A band of animal lovers armed with skull and crossbone flags zip over the choppy Venice Lagoon in speedboats. They dock at the palace-lined piazza, lug out 20-pound sacks of bird seed, and scatter the food for all to eat. The pirate pigeon saviors have made three lightning raids into St. Mark's, the first two at the crack of dawn and now at midday, to deliberately confront the police and their ban on feeding the birds. So goes Venice's battle over the ever-multiplying pigeons, quote, flying rats in the view of the mayor. Airborne menaces that poop all over precious centuries-old marble statues, cool in the view of many tourists. And like they said, can you imagine a picture of St. Mark's Cathedral without the pigeons in it? It's hard to imagine. So anyway, the battle continues. So there are now pigeon-feeding renegades with skull and crossbones feeding the pigeons. And, all right, we might as well stay on time today, take care of our advertisers and sponsors for this hour. Come back, we'll finish up the news, and then we will talk to Professor Thayer and everything that's going on with Helen and Bill. Stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Canine Hydrotherapy and Heavenly Spa's warm water healing pool offers pets a therapeutic and nurturing environment to assist in rehabilitation from injury, illness, or surgery, as well as maintaining the overall wellness of pets of all ages and abilities. Heavenly Spa, located in Fall City, maintains its pool at 92 to 94 degrees to aid your pet in achieving greater relief of muscle tension and increased range of motion. Warmth can assist in improving circulation, increasing flexibility, and promoting relaxation. When the benefits of warm water healing are incorporated with massage therapy, the results are remarkable. Heavenly Spa also offers massage and bodywork, self-swim, puppy parties, holistic services. And for more information, go to heavenlyspa.info or give them a call at 425-222-7221. That's 425-222-7221.
Naturally Four Paws is Kitsap County's health food store for pets, where pets are more than animals, they're family. Naturally Four Paws provides only the highest quality natural, organic, and holistic pet supplies for dogs, cats, birds, and small animals. Two state-of-the-art self-service grooming facilities, all with the highest level of personalized service. Naturally Four Paws is open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 6 p.m. on Sundays. Stop by their store in Silverdale or call 360-337-2444 to speak with their friendly and knowledgeable staff. Be sure to mention that Martha sent you. You can also contact them online or read about their philosophy, products, events, and services at naturally4paws.com.
Hey, if you've got dogs, you need to know about my friends at the Academy of Canine Behavior in Bothell. They also have a great cattery for cats, but they also have the best doggy daycare center I've ever seen. And so if you travel the North 405 corridor, they are conveniently located right off 405, just north of the 522 interchange. So it's easy to drop off your dog before on the way to work, pick him up on the way home. You can relax, kick up your feet. All you got to do is feed them. They're all worn out from playing with dogs all day. They also offer free behavior evaluations, so you can get your dog evaluated and usually get a solution to problems. And it is the Academy of Canine Behavior in Bothell. Give them a call at 425-486-9567. That's 425-486-9567. Visit them online at www.aocb.com and tell them Martha Norwalk sent you.
Lewis and Clark would be proud. We're exploring new territory on the air every day right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Well, how fitting they should mention Lewis and Clark, because it is Helen and Bill Sunday here on Animal World. That means Helen Thayer, her husband Bill, is also here. Helen is a newly affiliate professor at the University of Alaska. Woohoo! And the first woman to walk solo to the North Pole. Did you celebrate your 65th birthday down at the South Pole? 60th birthday.
Yes.
With like a cupcake and a candle all by your little lonesome down there.
That's
sitting
right
on an ice cube. Unbelievable. Unbelievable what this woman has done and their treks and the animals. And you are two, if I remember correctly, probably a handful of people in the world that have ever actually seen the Mongolian bear.
That's yes, the Gobi Bear. It's very rare. They say they think there might only be 35 left in the world, and we were in our trek, 1,600-mile trek across the Gobi Desert, we actually saw one, which is because we were on foot and basically no noise, and we saw it before it saw us. And but it's very rare for a Westerner to ever see these animals.
Yeah, amazing. And Speaking of that, not many of us have a chance to bond with camels, but when you had Tom and Jerry.
Yes, Tom and Jerry were our two Bactrian camels that carried our gear while we walked.
Yeah, just so you know, Helen is the author of three books. First one, Polar Dream. Second one, Three Among the Wolves. Spent a year living with wolves up in the Yukon and so forth. And then the last, her latest book, Walking the Gobi, tells the story of the camels and their trek and the Gobi Bear and all of that. So we will be getting into a lot more detail. Let's get back and finish up the news and the follow-up department. I'll go through this stuff really quickly. The Marine, I'm sure y'all saw the video, the YouTube video of the Marine throwing the puppy off the cliff in March. He's been expelled from the military. That happened this week. Montana is pursuing the brucellosis outbreak. Apparently, the states have been clear of brucellosis, which is a disease that affects cattle and their ability to come to term or go to term with their babies. And we haven't had a problem with it, but that's where the controversy with the buffalo in Yellowstone. When we get outside of the park, they're killing them because of the brucellosis. Well, they've now found brucellosis in some of the cattle in the area, and so there's a big hoopla going on about that. If you're following that, there's a long article about that in the Seattle Times this week. Another editorial about our good old King County Animal Control and the issues surrounding the care of our animals. Last week I told you about an editorial that supported turning the care of the county's animals over to private industry. This week, Seattle PI, June 22nd, County Takes Good Care of Animals. There is an editorial supporting the county being in charge. So if you're following that, you might want to pull up that editorial. All right, local news. Oh, and this is something. If you live in the Seward Park area enough to make an alert on the front page of the Seattle PI yesterday, and it made pretty much all the news reports last night, the coyotes in the Seward Park area. And not an unusual thing to be happening this time of year. I'm sure, you know, Kay would tell us that from Sarvey. They are supporting young and feeding young, and they've got to be real hungry to be leaving the park, but they're apparently branching out into the neighborhoods, and there have been some cats that have been taken, and apparently some small dogs have been attacked. So if you live in that area, if you live in any area these days, you need to pay attention about your animal friends and know that the wildlife are, they have to be adaptable and adjust, and the coyotes are doing that too. So it's not a good idea to let your cat friends out wandering around. That's why we talk about cat runs and metropolitan walking jackets and taking them for walks. And I mean, heck, we have coyotes in Laurelhurst, and especially most of these animals have had problems early morning, late at night. So, but you know, they're getting braver and braver, and will come out during the day if they need to feed their young. So you might want to pull up the stories. Seattle PI, pet owners on coyote alert. Seward Park residents spreading the word about attacks. Apparently there's an email list going on, and they're congealing their information and sending it around. But if you're in that area, make sure you're paying attention to your animal friends and keep them in and supervise. Oh, here's an encouraging study. And I put this in the local news because it actually was done at the University of Washington. What they studied was, could nature be replaced by technology? And I guess they got the idea because in hospital situations, they're putting up like flat screen TVs and nature scenes and so forth, thinking that people look at the nature scenes on TV and stuff, that would calm them down. Well, it's not the same as the real deal. And it is a study that reaffirms the restorative powers of nature. Researchers at the University of Washington report that stress relief looking outside trumps toiling away in a windowless room or viewing a digital version of that outdoor scene. So they've actually compared, how do people respond if they actually look out the window and see real nature as compared to seeing the same picture on a television screen. not the same. They don't get the same reaction. They don't get the reduction in stress and the drop in heart rate. So the good news is nature cannot be replaced by a TV picture. So get outside. So your little strolls around the yard and smelling in the morning, good deal. Good idea, Sandy. Here's another, if you eat pork, pay attention. The potentially fatal bacteria found in pigs and farm workers, federal agents urge to check for the MRSA bacteria in meat. It apparently, someone from the Department of Epidemiology at University of Iowa started testing pigs and farm workers, and they found the MRSA bacteria in 70% of the pigs and on the farm workers. So the concern right now is we're not testing for this, and if you have a concern about this, be careful about handling raw pork. Be sure you wash. Probably a good idea anyway, but that is the concern with raw pork. Oh, now here's an adventure for you, Helen. Now, you guys have talked to us about your adventures with wildlife. I'm remembering your trek down the Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't there a time, didn't you guys have to, like, you're going down the Amazon and there's piranhas and all kinds of stuff in the river, but didn't a swarm of killer bees come by and you guys had to bail out and jump in the river?
Yes, it was one of the rivers. We were on the Amazon, then the Rio Negro, then we were on the Irishan and Jacare. And it was when we were almost at the headwaters of one of those rivers that we were attacked by a swarm of bees. And there was only one place to go, and that was into the water. And that's, of course, where the caiman, which is a species of crocodile, the electric eels and the piranha live. But we've learnt on expeditions you deal with the problem of the moment and worry about the others later on if they should occur.
So the swarm of bees came, you guys bailed and jumped in the water.
That was the problem. So we had to get rid of them in a hurry. And that was the only way we could do it, was go into the water.
Wow, amazing. Well, now, how about this? Have you been to Indonesia?
No, not yet.
Well, scuba divers swept away in strong currents, survived 12 hours in shark-infested waters before scrambling onto a remote island where they faced yet another threat, a Komodo dragon. The three divers fought off the Komodo dragon by pelting it with rocks and pieces of wood. The beasts have sharp, serrated teeth and often come out when they smell something new, including humans, whom they've been known to kill. But can you imagine? You survive 12 hours in the ocean, wash up on an island, and the first thing that comes out to greet you is a big old huge Komodo dragon lizard that wants to eat you.
That'd be very depressing.
But so you haven't been. Oh, now here's another one. Bangkok, Thailand. You guys been there?
No, we are in the process of planning Thailand. We have some contacts there, so we're busy putting the logistics together because some very interesting cultural and climate change issues going on there.
Oh, now, did you know they have fishing monkeys?
No, I hadn't heard of those.
Oh, this. Bangkok, Thailand. Long-tailed macaque monkeys have a reputation for knowing how to find food, whether it be grabbing fruit from jungle trees or snatching a banana from a startled tourist. Now researchers say they have discovered groups of silver-haired monkeys in Indonesia that fish.
Some species of monkeys living in these rivers, they will also fish.
Yeah, that's what they're finding. The species have been known to eat fruit and forage for crabs and insects, but never before fish from rivers. But they've now been observed fishing in the rivers.
Yes, they figured it out in some parts of the Amazon as well.
There's a bunch of international stuff. Now this is just I have trouble with this one. International Bird Conservation Group reports that more than 1 million migratory birds were illegally trapped and killed in Cyprus during the past year to be served up as local delicacies. That BirdLife Cyprus says the birds were indiscriminately killed in nets or on sticks dipped in sticky lime. Songbirds are a popular dish on the Mediterranean island, which lies on a key migratory route. Diners often pay up to $7 per fried or grilled birds. Have you been over, like, the Cyprus area? And
No, that's not a place that's really... has taken us for our work and research, but I don't think I could handle that.
No.
That
all
would
right.
be bad.
And apparently now increasing algae blooms and red tides in California's waters are responsible for more frequent epileptic seizures and behavioral abnormalities being observed in the region's sea lion population. It's interesting because apparently the algae and the bacteria is affecting the babies in the womb, the seal fetal development, and then when they're born and grow up, they have problems. Boy, and oh, this will get you. Icelandic welcome is the title here. Animal rights activists expressed outrage at the killing of an adult polar bear that appears to have managed to swim around 200 miles from Greenland to Iceland before being shot dead by marksmen. The animal was thought to be the first to reach the North Atlantic island in at least 15 years, and a local police officer claimed it was a danger to gathering human sightseers. Authorities have been criticized for not keeping the public aware or away from the unique visitor and for not using a tranquilizer instead of lethal force. The last sighting of a polar bear around Iceland was in 1993 when sailors spotted a bear swimming off the coast and shot it. Now, Helen, I thought polar bears, part of the problem with the global warming and the ice melting is they were actually finding bears drowning up in the Arctic because yes. they couldn't swim that far. So what's up with one swimming 200 miles?
Polar bears are very strong swimmers, but that's an amazing swim. They can swim a long way, but there is a limit, and that's why they're finding that they're drowning because as the ice disappears, they, of course, don't have platforms to hunt from, which forces them to swim, but this is a marathon swim for a polar bear, and very, very unusual. But to shoot the poor animal, there's other ways, as I say, tranquilizer gun, and keep the people away, keep them at a distance, because a polar bear's not going to charge around all over the place after people. It would come ashore and then figure out what it wants to do next, and it wouldn't be difficult to protect the public from them.
Yeah. It seems amazing that one was being able to swim 200 miles.
That's a huge distance. That's
and then to be
unusual.
Welcomed by being killed. That just, I just have a real hard time with that. Oh, anybody hear about the unicorn deer? Look at this picture. You can pull this picture up, folks. Seattle Times. And it's no unicorn, but Italian deer has a unihorn. So this little deer with one horn in the middle of its head.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird?
So if you want the place.
A deer with a single horn in the center of its head, much like the fabled mythical unicorn, it's been spotted in a nature preserve in Italy. Photographs, SeattleTimes.com. Search unicorn deer. More bird flu in Hong Kong. And they are exterminating, again, they slaughtered 2,700 birds in a neighborhood recently. Now they, because more cases were found in four other markets, they are ordering an extermination of all remaining live chickens in retail markets, stalls, and stores in the Hong Kong Kowloon. Kowloon area. You're more familiar with China than I am.
Yeah, well, that bird flu has become a problem over there, and there's been wholesale slaughter of chickens in many parts of China.
Yeah. All right, that wraps up all of our news, and that leaves us with the best good news about animals. And we even have sunshine. We don't even need to bring it out today. It's already out. Woohoo! Hey, have you seen an albino raccoon? Great photo. Seattle Times, just hanging around. A pair of young raccoons, one of them albino, lounge on a chain-link fence near the Jasper Street water plant Thursday in Wichita Falls, Texas. Look at that.
Mm.
A regular raccoon colored and then an albino.
Different.
Yeah.
Very different.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Albino raccoon. Pull that one up. Oh, good tip from Heloise on pets. if you are planning on traveling and leaving someone else in charge of your animals, contact your vet and leave a signed permission to treat form. That way, if anything really serious happens to your pet, the sitter can take the animal immediately to your vet for treatment without having to try to contact you and waste precious time. And that's something you really don't think about. But that's really, if you know, unless you have a fabulous relationship with your vet and they just know that something happened, to do it. But if you don't have a real established relationship with your vet and you're gonna travel and your animal's being under the care of someone else, contacting, you know, the vet that you would want them to go to and doing a signed permission to treat would be excellent.
We also leave permission to use credit card, too, so the payment can be taken care of immediately.
Well, that's right, because you could be in the middle of the Gobi Desert, for heaven's sakes.
We had a very sick, one of our beagles became deathly ill and almost died. And
wow.
Had to, $4,000 later, she was able to live, but that was okay. The bill was, we'd gladly pay it to have our Jill, but not only do we leave the contact information, but also credit card information.
Credit card. Excellent idea. So, we have a Father's Day story. Eggs are right on Dad's tail. This is out of the Seattle Times. Atlanta, a weedy sea dragon at the Georgia Aquarium has something to celebrate this Father's Day. One of the rare creatures is pregnant for only the third time at a U.S. aquarium. Don't look for the expectant mom. Dads carry the eggs in this family. An amazing picture. It says the aquarium sea dragon has about 70 fertilized eggs, which look like small red grapes, attached to his tail. He is expected to give birth in July. So there's a little weedy sea dragon.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah. So that's our good news Father's Day story. And, then speaking of babies, another photograph, Seattle Post-Intelligencer, Canada, and an aquarium staff member watches Kula, a beluga whale, and her new calf Thursday at the Vancouver Aquarium in British Columbia. The calf was born on Tuesday. So it's a lovely picture of mom and baby beluga whale. And next good news story, we've got rescued lions call sanctuary home. This is Bethlehem, South Africa. Now, you haven't written about Africa.
Bill and I walked 4,000 miles across the Sahara. In northern Africa.
Mm-hmm. But this is South Africa. Any plans for South Africa?
Yes, there's some very interesting deserts in South Africa. And also we're interested in going to do a wildlife expedition where we bring back photographs of endangered species and information, how they're doing and how is climate change affecting that area. So that's another, we have many, many plans, many expeditions lined up.
You guys are amazing. All right, so this story is out of Bethlehem, South Africa. 9 cubs, along with 1 adult lion and a tiger, took their first tentative steps into their new home Saturday at South African Wildlife Sanctuary. They came from a zoo in Europe where they suffered from malnutrition and neglect. The new habitat is really perfect place for them to live out their lives with the peace and dignity they deserve. The cubs, aged 6 months to just over a year, were removed from their mothers at a rundown, financially crippled zoo in Romania. They arrived in Johannesburg on Friday and were then transported 150 miles to Bethlehem. The Forepaws is the name of the rescue that they apparently bought a 2,700-acre game lodge in 2006 and have turned it into a wildlife sanctuary, which is very good. So they're getting these animals out of those horrible zoo situations. And that brings us to the winning story and the best good news about animals. It is local from Cleellum. It was on the news last night. And you can find the story in the Seattle Times. We have a new chimpanzee sanctuary in the state. And got a call from a listener yesterday as well. I'm going to try to arrange an interview with these people for Shelter Update Sunday. But it says seven chimpanzees from a medical laboratory in Pennsylvania are making a cross-country trip by truck to their new home at the nonprofit Chimpanzee Sanctuary Northwest, an 18,000 cubic foot facility on 26 acres near Cleellum. Plans for the chimpanzee sanctuary were first hatched in 2003. The $150,000 sanctuary, one of nine such chimpanzee sanctuaries in the United States, is being built to give permanent homes to chimps that have been used by the entertainment and biomedical industries. And these chimps apparently were used in vaccine, hepatitis B vaccine research. There's nothing wrong with them except that they've been in captivity and neglected all this time, but woohoo! They have now arrived, and are safely at this new sanctuary. And apparently there's still a lot of work going on, and so the sanctuary probably needs some help. So there you go. That concludes the best good news about animals. And speaking of the best good news about animals, we have some of that good news in the studio. Ah, that would be, Sandy's waving.
Yes, I am.
Does that mean you would like to speak?
That's right. I didn't want to, you know, get chastised for just jumping in and being rude and interrupting.
But I you can interrupt anytime.
Well, I just would like to tell our listeners, because, I mean, you know how I feel about Helen and Bill. I'm always in awe, and there aren't words, but you know, it's always nice to put a face with who is speaking, and not often do we get a chance to do that on our show. But if you're around your computer, if you just go to Google and Google Helen Thayer, Thayer. You will come up with all these wonderful websites, not just hers, but lots of websites. But the best thing you will find is about the fifth one down is YouTube Helen Thayer.
Now, do you know about this?
And it is the most. I watched this thing, Helen, so many times. I think since it came on YouTube, I watch it at least once a week. Because not only do your words give me inspiration, but the pictures are so awesome. Your photography is unbelievable. But I love the way this starts, folks, because it's this just this kind of green screen, and it says, Helen Thayer, unique, inspiring, courageous.
That describes her.
Extreme explorer. Mm-hmm. And there,
extreme explorer.
There is a picture of Helen and Charlie. And let me tell you something. Helen, the only thing that has changed in your face is there's more wisdom and grace there today. But, folks, she looks in that picture.
She looks
like she did back when Charlie was around. And I just feel so proud to be here today to be able to sit and listen to Helen.
Okay, so if somebody was half-heartedly paying attention and now you've got their attention, you find this video clip. It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
You just Google Helen Thayer.
It's easier just to Google Helen Thayer.
And then it's about the fifth one down that comes up. And what does
and it'll say?
YouTube
Helen Thayer.
YouTube Helen Thayer. And watch the video clip.
It's 4 minutes. Oh, it's almost 5 minutes long. It is the most incredible YouTube.
Well, I'm wondering, is this maybe a clip from you doing your adventure classroom, or what's the source of this clip, Helen?
Well, your people are very generous in your description, but
it's the truth, Helen.
Well, thank you so much. It's part of Adventure Classroom. Someone did a DVD for Adventure Classroom, and they put it on YouTube.
Okay. All right. Well, that was going to be my first question, talking about Adventure Classroom, because we, most of the time when you come on the show, we've done specific slideshows about, you know, your different treks around the world and so forth. And today we decided not to do that, because we've got so many new listeners that, and there's so much going on in your lives, that we would just catch up about Adventure Classroom and this professorship up at the University of Alaska and all your planned treks, and we'll touch on all your books and your adventures. But I do want to spend some time talking about Adventure Classroom, because mm-hmm. we really haven't done that. So it is just about time to say sayonara to our first hour of our Father's Day edition of Animal World. We're going to turn it right around. We're not running the 4th of July and fears of loud noises tip until 11 o'clock. And, of course, we will do current events towards the end of this upcoming hour.